Well, it's official. It's the news, according to me. Wow. What a week it has been. Ah, it's good stuff. I have, it's 9:09 a.m. already, Eastern Standard Time. Thursday, August 21st, 2025. The beginning of a whole week of shows starting on Thursday. Yeah. So today and tomorrow, that's all you get. Oh, wow. Yesterday was not the day I thought it would be. I thought it would be a much better a chance of me doing a show tomorrow, yesterday. I thought it'd be late in the day maybe, but it just never happened. I thought about doing it for, anyway, didn't happen yesterday. Didn't happen Monday or Tuesday either. Now, I am officially on vacation until an undisclosed time next month. If I tell you, you would be jealous. I don't want to encourage your jealousy. Let's just say I have some paid time off. However, there are some issues with the whole, how you say, the plans that were out there. Things are not going quite as planned. However, I think we can still make the best of this. I think we do have a sailing trip we're going to do on the boot. The weekend of the Labor Day weekend, that's all planned out. I think that's going to go okay. Everything seems to be coming together for that. I have a few things to get done for the boat for that. Going to go camping though. I had planned on going camping pretty much right away. However, my wife, she has to work this week, and then I plan on heading out Saturday morning, I think, if I can find a campground somewhere. Can't go too far. Because the motorhome's not quite working quite right. I sent it off to a place that I thought was going to be able to just pay the money, have them do it right, get it done, get it fixed. Well, I paid some money, more than I would have liked to, all with the recommendation that they were then going to charge me $20,000 to fix it. And I'm not going to pay that kind of money for a $10,000 motorhome. Just, now granted, this is a motorhome that we've put some serious money into. I put tires on it a few years ago. Or we put, I think my wife paid for those. But anyway, we paid for those. Refrigerator, put a new radiator coil in it last year. Did some other work on it last year that I had it at another mechanic shop that was looking at one of the problems that it was having. And didn't fix that. Still spent the money. Basically, I spent about the same amount of money last year, a little bit more. And they had it for about a month and a half. And unfortunately, it went right through the camping season, right into our, what we usually use as our camping season, which is the fall, right into the fall until the end of the fall, until I just basically brought it home and stored it for the rest of the year. The very frustrating last year. We tried to use it. We did go to our nephew's. Was his graduation? Was last year? Was that this year? It was this year. Was his graduation? It was a wedding last year. It was something we went to last year, and where we were planning to go to last year, and weren't able to do it because of the motorhome. We did it actually last July, I think it was. Went to something. Was that the graduation? I thought the graduation was this year. Maybe it wasn't this year. No, that was because that was something else. Anyway, so I can't remember what it was. What was it we went to last year? Anyway, wife knows. Sure she knows. Then it was out in Virginia. We didn't make it in the motorhome. And then we tried to go in the, we're going to take the motorhome this year to go out there. And then we ended up taking the, maybe that was the graduation. Then we ended up taking the car, which that also broke down. By the way, anyway, it's just been kind of a frustrating ordeal. And there you go. So anyway, needless to say, we're going to go ahead and take the motor home. I've got another mechanic I'm going to have look at it, see if they can't solve the problems. Somebody I trust, but they're so good. They're so far out, about a month out in scheduling, even to just look at it. So hopefully I can get them, give them all the notes from this other place and some of the other things that have been happening, and they can get it figured out. In the meantime, I have quite a few things going on in the world right now. And of course, anything that happens, Donald Trump is the evil man, regardless of what he does. It doesn't matter what he does. He's evil. There are some high level Democrats coming out now. Of course, now in the face of what they are possibly looking at with regard to potential charges against them. So some things that they did. Now, the Democrats came out, 4 years ago, and they are for all this time they were all they said was no one's above the law. Now they were going at, they thought that they were going to get Donald Trump on something. Kept going after him, charged him with all kinds of things, changed laws in order to go after him, changed statutes of limitations to go after him to get things, all kinds of stuff. Just the lawfare was incredible. Going after this guy. There's a guy who wrote a book now he's got a report out. I think maybe it's just a report. It might just be a documentary. I think somebody else wrote a book and did a movie about it. This guy basically has done this report. He spent millions of dollars putting this together, and he has it together now, and he's going out there now. And it sounds kind of a little bit QAnon-ish, which is a little bit weird for me. It's just he's saying some things about the way they've rigged elections in the past and some other things. And a lot of it, it's they're feeding a lot of this stuff to Tulsi Gabbard. Now he speaks very highly of Tulsi. The problem I have with some of these people is there are people out there who will just do disinformation. Disinformation is almost as much a part of the CIA, NSA, the three-letter organizations out there that interfere with other people's, with world politics. Disinformation is almost as much of a part of their arsenal, if you will, as information. In fact, I would say it's probably more. They put a spin on even the things that they tell other countries that are true. They leak certain levels of intelligence in order to, to make it look like it's coming from somewhere. They'll feed double agents with information, just all kinds of weird espionage type stuff that goes on, just to get our adversaries on the wrong track, or get them going down a rabbit hole that doesn't exist, or get them to spend too much money. We basically, this happened at a very high level with the whole Star Wars thing back in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan, when he convinced the Russians that we had this Star Wars capability, these satellites that we were putting in the air, in orbit, that we would be able to basically shoot down other missiles as well as also just rain down missiles upon Russia basically at any time. And my understanding is the money was never spent on that. It would have been too much money. We didn't have enough money to do it, but we said we were doing it. And that drove them to spend a lot of money in defense of that, because they didn't know for sure. So they were spending all this money on defense. And of course, that just buckled them to some degree. That's why the Soviet Union kind of broke up. They just couldn't afford to keep it going. Now, that doesn't mean Russia is not still at the helm of a lot of things that are going on. And the of course, now that brings us back to this whole Ukrainian thing. And Trump is basically doing what he can to put together a peace agreement, just some kind of an agreement to stop the killing, stop the war. We'll go from there. Russia is kind of a meat factory. They can basically just keep throwing cannon fodder at the Ukrainians all day long. Problem is, Ukraine is not that big of a country. it is going to run out of people eventually. It is to the point now where it's just a meat grinder. It's just they're saying 7,000 people a week. I don't know how you keep a country. That just sounds like just marching people off to death. I don't understand. This is brutal. It's terrible. It's going on for years now, under the Biden administration. Nothing was changing under the Biden administration. Just more and more, you know, throwing people at it. Just and the country. The polls now are showing that the country has flipped. Ukrainians even have flipped on this issue almost inversely. It was about 25 to 30% of the people in this country were against the war. 70% to 70 to 80% were actually supporting the effort for Ukraine to help Ukraine fight the Russians, and now that has completely switched back to a 20 to 30% of the people want the war to stop, just stop, concede some of the territory that has been lost. That's, you know, it's fully under Russian control now, and just get it done, get it over with. Now, I don't understand why Putin attacked. I don't understand the geopolitical things behind it, all the history behind it. I'm not going to get into all that. I mean, I have a general idea. I've been told, and now I've listened to it a couple times. I cannot articulate what happened there. I'm not even going to try, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, I'm not a geopolitical expert. But you can call the show. However, I don't even have a sponsor. I don't want a sponsor. I want you to be able to get as much out of this show as possible without having some kind of 5-minute advertisement in the middle of it about buying gold or some kind of health food supplement or whatever it is these guys sell all the time. Oh, looks like the puppy's got a chew toy now. He's gonna play with that for a little bit. But I do want to, you can call the show. It's 812-379-8778. Leave a voicemail or send a text to that message, to that number, and you can ask a question, make a comment. If you want your comment to be mentioned on the air or comment to be not be mentioned on the air, just let me know. I will even play your audio on the air unless you say otherwise. You can just say, don't even mention that I ask this, but I'd like for you to cover this one particular topic. I want you to know your opinions on this particular topic. That's what this show is about. It's the news according to me, not the news according to you. It's the news according to me, and you can let me know what you think about what my opinions are. But that's all I've got here for you folks. But there's no advertisements. No, I just have to put up with my drivel occasionally and my stories about life in general. Which is mostly what this is about. Now, the thing is, this whole rhetoric, all the rhetoric that's going on. I had a really good conversation with a guy I worked with last week. There's this shift going on. The change that's going on among some prominent Democrats. I'm sorry. Interestingly enough, the Republicans, the rhinos that are out there, are probably more anti-Trump than some of the Democrats that have been anti-Trump in the past. And this is an interesting trend. It's a strange phenomenon because there are some people who are realizing, hey, you know, this anti-Trump thing is just not working. We're just showing ourselves to be this foaming at the mouth anti, you know, we have no vision for the country, other than, you know, get Trump out. That's our only vision. We're not articulating anything in on the positive side of things. In the meantime, you got people like Zoran Mandani stepping in, defining what he believes in, which is total socialism. It's communist. He's a communist. I mean, there's no question about it. And these people who want to step in as the leader of the communist movement make it sound like I want to see people have everything, be able to taken care of. I was listening to this the other day. This guy was talking about, he was interviewing people on the street. It was in Baltimore. And this was a year ago that this guy did this interview. He's got there. He goes around a lot of very dangerous places and does interviews. He's out on the street in Baltimore, and he's just basically asking everybody questions. You know, what's going on with the city? You know, he's talking to people who were actually high at the moment. They were actually shooting up in the streets. There were people who were there. There's so many needles on the street that it's the most highest concentration of needles he's ever seen. Talked to one person as they were basically, they had just shot up. Just a few minutes earlier, and they were, I guess somebody had just passed away the night before. It was on the street that they just cleaned that up, and he was out there talking to all these people, asking them what's going on. What's happening with the city. And there were people who were also just who lived in the area. He was asking them some questions as well. And he asked them, you know, how were things here, you know, 20, 30 years ago? What do you remember here growing up when you were a kid? How the neighborhood was and what it's like now. And he asked this one guy, well, if you were mayor, what would you do? How would you change things? And he started going, and it goes beyond the scope of what a mayor can do. And this is what people don't understand. If you were mayor, what would you do? He was going to come in and tear down all these houses and put in good houses and do all this. He didn't say if you were king for the day. He said if you were mayor, what would you do? Now, a dictator or a mayor, you can be a benevolent dictator. And, of course, you can say, well, if I had all the money in the world, I'd come in here and do all this and make all these improvements and make life better for all these people. You know, the people need to make life better for themselves. The mayor needs to provide an atmosphere, a conduit, if you will, so that can all happen. Because the people need to be the ones who want to do it. They have to be willing to make their lives better. You know, I have a commercial building. It's in the city limits. It's not right downtown, but it's in the city limits, and it's been a prominent part of the city anyway. Small town here, and people walk down the driveway or walk down the sidewalk. I'm sorry, driveway. Walk down the sidewalk, and they just throw trash in my yard. And it's obvious that they were. It's not just coming from cars; it's coming from people walking down the sidewalk because they can't throw the stuff out of the cars. It's that far. It's just these empty cups, whatever it is. When they go downtown. They get they get whatever their soda pop, whatever they got, and they just. They drink it, and then if it's empty, they just throw it in the yard. All kinds of stuff. Bottles, cans, cups. You'd be amazed at the stuff I find in my yard. Now, around the back of the building, there's a little area. I'm going to have to tear it all down. There's a bunch of shrubs. There's some areas where there's cover for where the air conditioner is. There's shade around that area. It's kind of... an area that has there's also a back door that you can it's an access door. I have that actually boarded shut, and I've got a couple bars across the door on the inside because some kids kicked it in a couple of years after I bought it in the middle of winter, and left the door open. In the process of doing all that, the dog is chewing on his little toy. In the process of doing all that, they tripped over more stuff that was worth more than what they took and caused more damage than actually anything. But I just boarded the door up, basically. I set it up so that you can't. I can get out if there's a fire, but you can't. Not going to kick it in again, that's for sure. Now, at the same time, that little area back there is kind of grown over. It's kind of a place where people can hide. I've on occasion... had some homeless people basically hanging out there. And there's usually just one or two people. And apparently somebody's been hanging out there there's a little suitcase now. There's a little bag of stuff. I picked up some of it, put it in my truck. I was like, what is this stuff? It's not chemicals or, you know. And there, at one point there was a big bag of stuff in there that was behind the shop that obviously had been, I'm pretty sure, had all the ingredients to make meth. And I think that it was from a house, a couple houses over. That house caught on fire a while back. It's burned to the ground. The city has taken it over. They've not done anything with it. They put a fence around it. The city ended up buying it, taking it over, and it was abandoned by the owners or whatever. And of course, the city won't do anything with it. It's just an eyesore. And of course, but they get on me about not mowing my yard. If I don't mow my yard, I haven't for several years, but if I let my yard get too tall, they send me a fine for that. But they can own a building It's burned to the ground, and it's an eyesore. It's actually a safety hazard. People are getting in there and doing all kinds of stuff. Kids go in there and play. And it's that's not a problem for them. They can do that. And I need to do some cleaning up around my shop this fall. I'm going to be doing some serious cleaning up. I've got to take the backhoe over there and just start tearing things. I got some shrubs and all kinds of things. I just need to come out. I just need to take some of the stuff to suck down and haul it off. That's what I'm planning on doing. I might be doing that during the vacation even. I might just take a whole day, just go over there and just clean it all up. In the meantime, I have a lot of I get back all this stuff. This whole thing about the mayor, you can't just go in and just do that stuff. The people have to want to do that. This is, you know, people who are throwing trash in my yard are people from the community. I guess they want to live in a community that looks that way. They don't care. Now somebody who cares about their community will see trash on the ground and they'll pick it up and throw it away. They're not the ones who throw the trash on the ground. I go to the park to walk the dogs. If I see trash on the ground, I usually pick it up and put it in the trash can. It's kind of an effort that we all take it's our public use land. I want it to, I'm part of the public. I pay taxes for that place. I want to help take care of it. I'm going to throw trash on it. Oh, I'm done with this candy bar. I'm going to do this candy bar. I'm just going to throw the wrapper here on the ground, even though there's a trash can 3 feet from me. I'm just going to throw it on the ground. Because I'm just too much effort to take it over there. Or to wait till I find a trash can. It just amazes me. Now, I've seen this especially at the county fair. This happens a lot. Just kids walking down through the, just walking along, drinking their thing. Like it's all empty, and they just throw it on the ground. Just keep on walking. Just drop it on the ground. Keep on walking. It just blows my mind. People do that. There's trash cans everywhere. Just walk over there. I digress. We have, and then they wonder why they have it so rough in life. They have it so rough. It's just the worst. We have, saw a thing the other day about somebody. If you were born in the 1900s, they went through all the tragedies that have happened. All the wars, World War I, World War II, the Spanish flu, the Vietnam, Korean War, in that order. Not necessarily that, And just all the other diseases that have happened, all the things that have happened in terms of calamities and tough things in life, depression, everything else that these people, it's anybody who was born in 1900 or 1901. Of course, most of those people, I don't think any of those people would be alive today, unless somebody's 125 years old. But you didn't see them complaining about it. They just kept on going with life. And you see kids nowadays, anybody who was born in the 1990s or 2000s, they're complaining about everything. Oh, how terrible it is. It's just terrible. Of course, you've got unfortunately, the ideology that's coming out of most universities. Pay very close attention to how people talk about this nation, about this country. One of the things you'll find, and it's quite telling, is the hatred that they have for this country. Now, like I've said before, the Democrats will wrap themselves in the Constitution and talk about, the Constitution. Nancy Pelosi came out a while back and she just kept saying, the Constitution, this is a violation of the Constitution. He doesn't care about the Constitution. He's just shredding the Constitution, constipation. He just keeps on going on with this stuff. And yet they're the people, they're the very ones who don't like the Constitution. They want to completely change this nation. Not restore it. They want to reform it. And the only way they can do that is to get rid of the Constitution. That's where they're headed. They want to try to do that. Somebody the other day, I think, did a tweet or something or did a post of some kind that said, Democrats, they want to pack the courts. eliminate, abolish the Senate. Something else, some, a couple, about three or four different things that they had on this list of things that they wanted to do. And yet they're the ones, supposedly, who were, who love the country. They don't love the country at all. This whole thing with Mamdani is kind of blowing up in Joaquin Jeffries' face now. He got interviewed the other day, and he would not come out and endorse him. And the guy who was asking him the questions was like, well, why don't you just say it? Why don't you just endorse him? Well, just do it now. Just endorse him. Just say, well, no, we haven't talked to him yet. We have to have a discussion with him. I'm not going to come out. He just wouldn't do it. And the reason is because he's trying to placate his politics, the political people who will vilify him and skewer him if he says the wrong thing. So the one thing on the left is you better be careful about who, you know, every time you talk, you have to worry about who you're going to offend. I think that's one of the things that gives Donald Trump a little bit of an edge. Is that he knows that not everything he says is going to be popular. At the same time, he doesn't care. He's going to say what he says, and if he wants to change his mind, he can change. This is where I think people have to, you know, life is messy. Not every conversation is going to be perfect, and that's not always going to be good, and just everything's going to fit together well. You're going to interrupt each other occasionally. You're going to, you know, step over each other. You're going to have a toe-to-toe conversation. You got to get into it. And you have to just move forward with it and continue to discuss the issues. And it just, you can't just, you know, coil up and walk off. That's what the Democrats do. First of all, somebody screams, I'm offended. And then, of course, the next thing you know, it all turns into all about that instead of what the issue is. And it's the underlying mission is to go through life without any offense to anyone and have no one offended and have been beat, just live your life and without any offense, which is just ridiculous. You know, this whole idea, I was watching this little documentary on the Israel, what do they call themselves? The Hebrew, the Black Hebrew something group. It is quite shocking what this group preaches, what they talk about. I had a group of about 30 men in this one city. I don't know where the city was. I think it was down south somewhere. About 30 of these guys, they come together for about a 6-hour period of time to work on defense techniques and do all kinds of stuff. It's a serious group, and they're walking around talking about, you know, they're chanting and marching and doing all this stuff. This is a serious group of young men. And they hold nothing back about their opinions of white people. And in fact, even some other African-American tribes that they would say are not really true. It's all about this particular strain, this particular race, this particular group of Northern Africans who consider themselves to be the true Hebrews. They're the true, and it's, and they hate white people. He says, no, we hate white people. We hate them for what they've done. They need to bow down and kiss our feet. He'll talk, you know, Jesus was black. Basically, he says Jesus was a black man. Which, okay, fine. I guess you know. Apparently, you know that he was. I don't know. I'm sure his skin wasn't pasty white. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I know his blood was red. That's really what makes a difference. And they'll quote things that he said, and yet at the same time he'll tell you this is what Jesus was, a radical. He was a radical reformer. But his kingdom is not of this world. There are so many things that you will not say, especially the way he talked about how you should interact and treat your adversaries, your enemies. And he keeps talking about the white man and the black man as if this just happened yesterday. Slavery just happened yesterday. That's the way there's no one alive today who was part of the institution of slavery in the South. No one's alive today who was a slave. Nobody. In that respect. Now, there's human trafficking. You can say, well, the system still has us in slavery. They're still enslaved with, you know, systemic racism, whatever it is. The oppression that we've had for, you know, that happened. It's, you know, white people are to blame for that. Well, not all white people. Joy Reid, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because Joy Reid recently is really showing her true colors now. She came out. Whenever you start saying they do this and they do that, and you're generalizing with all white people, and this whole idea that this whole nation was built on the labor of the black man is absolutely insane. Yes, there were laborers who were black, mostly picking cotton. Cotton was not the underlying economic engine of our nation. And yes, slaves were used a lot. You could say that everybody who's ever been hired, and in my opinion, if you're working for someone and in some regard, you're selling your life, your abilities, your skills to someone for 8 hours a day or however long it is, you are, in a sense, you are a slave to that person. Now, if you borrow money from someone, of course, you're a slave to the lender. There's all kinds of that. If you want to call slavery, you start to you know, get into the more gray areas of what slavery is, or oppression, or whatever you want to call it. It's different than racism. It's different than bigotry. Joy Reid is a serious bigot. She was booted off of CNN or MSNBC, so one of the two. And because of that, because of the things she was saying, she's kept on. She has nothing else. She just keeps on going with that. She's constantly talking about it. She went down this whole thing where she started talking about music and how, you know, the white man didn't even invent, you know, couldn't even come up with country music or R&B or anything else. It's all been done by, you know, it's all from black people. Like, even the king of rock and roll wasn't the king. He was only the king, got the king stamp of the king because he sang a song that was written by a fat black woman. It's, what are you trying to say here? First of all, Elvis Presley had a whole lot more songs than just that one. Now, if you know the whole story about what was behind all this stuff with Elvis Presley and everything, yeah, okay, I get it. I mean, let me see if I can find, you know, it's very possible. I might be able to find this. My computer's going to go slow now. I misspelled it. R-E-I-D. Latest rant about white people. Let's see if I can find it here. I'm probably not going to be able to find it with this. It's probably going to be some other person's interpretation of it. Yeah, this is a different. This isn't just her talking here. Let's see what do we got here. 30 minutes. It's a 30-minute expounding what she was saying. Joy Reid, unhinged about what mediocre white men can't invent anything here. Let's see if I can find this. Let's see if I can put this actually find the place where she. By the way, MSNBC is now MSNB or MS Now, I guess it is. Let's see if I can find this. Oh, here she is. This is hopefully I can play this. There we go.
Can't fix the history they did. Their ancestors made this country into a slave hell. But they can clean it up now because they got the Smithsonian. They can get rid of all the slavery stuff. They got PragerU. They can lie about the history to the children. They can't originally invent anything more than they ever were able to invent good music. We black folk gave y'all country music, hip hop, R&B, jazz, rock and roll. They couldn't even invent that, but they have to call a white man the king.
Spectrum, black,
now,
white, Asian.
This is where it gets bizarre. She goes off in this whole thing. They, this, they, that. Let's go. There's a little bit more here. Let's try to see what else.
We're going
to
talk about how this is happening in real time and how this has always happened, how the fragility of mediocre, terrified white men is destroying America, and how they have to make a level playing field for themselves. And it's all projection all the time. Like I just said right now, safe spaces for them, none for us.
This clip.
Okay. Safe spaces for them, not for us. All white men. This is racism. This is bigotry at its best. I mean, at its most prominent. It's most unadulterated. It's purest form. Is what I'm trying to say. Absolutely. Just what are you saying here? That white people are the evil ones. White men are the evil people. That's just all about that.
Who now no longer have to worry about competition to get into Harvard and Columbia and Yale.
She's talking about DEI here.
To get the jobs they want, or the military appointments that they want, or the jobs in the Trump administration that they want. They don't have to worry about competition from black and brown people, because Stephen Miller and Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth from Fox and all the other people who are unqualified for their jobs. Deported.
By the way, she talks about Pete Hegseth being unqualified. Yeah, he was a decorated military serviceman. It's not like he didn't just make his waves on Fox News. It just amazes me that they act like that. Anyway, this is the woman who's preaching at the choir here, or preaching at everybody who listens to her. That's this little echo chamber she's in, who also dyes her hair blonde. And yet if I were to have dreadlocks or give myself an afro, she'd say I was culturally appropriating. It'd be terrible. I guess De Niro has come out recently as well and saying, I can't live in Trump's America. James Comey, let me see if I can find this. This is a really interesting one. And it's what's really bizarre about this. I don't understand this. I don't understand where he's coming from with this. This is a weird deal. Let's see if we can play this without, we're just going to play it. Let's see. Here we go. Here goes.
But I think we have to try to do that without becoming like them.
Let me start this again, because I missed the first part of it.
Of course we need to stand up to jerks and defend what matters. But I think we have to try to do that without becoming like them. Which is what makes me think about Taylor Swift.
Now, it's just James Comey standing in front of a camera. He's got a white background, off-white background, just standing there, talking to the camera, doing... This is, I guess it's a TikTok, some kind of a social media thing. Suit on, tie on. It looks like he's standing there for almost like a lineup. It looks like a mugshot. It's bizarre. This is why would you post this? This guy's losing his mind.
She's made clear that she sees Donald Trump for what he is. And last year, she urged Americans not to make the serious mistake of electing him.
What is wrong with this guy? He literally is mentally ill. This Trump derangement thing is a serious issue with some people. This is a former FBI director. This guy's a millionaire. He worked for Boeing during his time off between government jobs. Interestingly enough, he has nothing to do with airplanes. I don't know. What are you doing working for Boeing? Some of these companies have places where they park high-level people. Of course, this USAID thing is part of that whole thing, but... Interesting how what that money dries up, and all of a sudden some of these people who were, you know, how could they afford to lose $40 million a year for, you know, Stephen Colbert? And all of a sudden, no, we don't have the money anymore. That's all of a sudden things are a little bit tight. We don't have that $40 million just slosh around anymore. Interesting how that works. Sorry. Drying up the well a little bit. See, wait, what's he doing here? What is this? He's talking about Taylor Swift?
Of course, we're now living with the consequences of that mistake. But while our elderly makeup-covered president is posting about whether...
By the way, you can tell he's got makeup on, but apparently that's okay.
Taylor Swift is still hot and declaring that he can't stand her. What's she doing? Living her best life. Producing great music and, as she urged all of us to do during the podcast... not giving the jerks power over her mind. She said something about dealing with internet trolls that stuck with me. Think of your energy as if it's expensive, she said. As if it's like a luxury.
What is he trying to do here? Is he trying to be a life coach? Is that what's going on here? And he goes on. This goes on for like 10 minutes. I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's just ridiculous. Growing up, my family grew up with Taylor Swift, and I was, she's just, what's he trying to get out? What's the angle here? Other than just trying to show himself a faithful Swiftie. What is he doing? This is the kind of thing an insane person does. There's some question about whether he's doing this, that maybe he's actually sending out some signals through this whole thing. He talks about the names of a couple songs that are meaningful to him and some of the things that she's done and written and some of what the subjects of what some of the songs were about. He goes on this whole thing. And this, I can see where some people have kind of drawn some, you know, connected some dots here that maybe don't exist because it's people are always doing that, fill in the blanks that, and maybe that's what he wants to do. Maybe he wants to kind of come up with this thing with blanks that people will fill it. That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other part of disinformation is when they feed you a certain amount of information that's true and they leave other information out in order for you to fill in the blanks yourself. Clapper and Brennan were experts at this. They learned very well from their time in the CIA and the whatever it is, all the intelligence agencies. And that's, the FBI has become basically an intelligence agency with guns. They have the ability to arrest people and do all kinds of things within the nation. But they're completely tied to the idea of using intelligence the same way that they're not an investigation organization anymore. They're an intelligence agency that has power over people. That can go in and destroy evidence, which they have done. It's obvious whenever the FBI steps in and takes over an investigation. But by the way, that is only done with the permission of the local authorities. The FBI, when you see this on the movies, well, the FBI is here now, they're taking over the investigation. No, you're not. Not without permission from the local authorities. The county sheriff, your county sheriff has the ability to kick out federal agents, whether they're DNA, DIA, DOEP, DOPE, what... whatever they are, they can be FAA, they can be whatever it is. What's the Food and Drug Administration? FDA. They can kick them out. There was a family here in our county of Amish people. Now this is Bill Rogers, who used to be the sheriff here. I have a lot of respect for the guy. He understood the Constitution. Now, whether he always implemented it properly or not, I don't know. There's probably some people out there didn't like him. But he understood a few basic foundational things, which I think were very healthy for our county. One of them was federal officers who come into our county to operate have to have they do it at the understanding of the permission of the county sheriff. County sheriff is elected in our county. And that's the kind of thing where you don't step into that role without, you know, you're a representative of the people. People have to allow you, the feds, to come in. The feds don't just have, well, we have jurisdiction. No, The county can also, by the way, even the county, has the ability to, county police officer has the ability to issue warnings and citations and tickets and, you know, enforce state, county, state, and federal law. A federal agent cannot enforce state or county law or city law. In fact, the city town, the town clown, the town marshal, has the ability to enforce city, county, state, and federal law, all those. A DNA, or DNA, what is DNR? DNR, the conservation officer, basically we used to call them, but they actually have even a little bit more power in some respects. They have, they've been granted powers that kind of go beyond some things. They have to be very, very careful about how they execute their authority. But it's they actually have some more authority than most police officers do. The now, having said that, the feds can't just come into a place and take over an investigation. It just can't happen. Now, if it's something that involved an international issue or it went across state lines, now you're talking about something totally different. We had an Amish family here that was selling milk straight from the cow. They would milk the cow. I don't know if it was homogenized or not. I know it wasn't pasteurized. I think it was, or it was a low temperature pasteurization system. I can't remember what exactly was going on with it. I just know that people were coming here to get fresh milk, unpasteurized milk. And this guy was selling it in the county here. He was putting in glass bottles or whatever he was doing, and he was selling it. And the feds moved in to raid the place. And the county sheriff got word of that. Rogers himself showed up for this and booted them out. Told them they didn't have any, you're done. Go away. You're amazing to me that in this day and age that we would have somebody with that kind of the tenacity and the fortitude to do that. But that's kind of unusual, you might say, in this day and age to even see that kind of thing happen. But it happened. And good for him. And I think he's moved on. He ran for another office or whatever he did. But just weird stuff with this.
You
guys,
let me
I got this. So I don't know exactly what all Comey's trying to accomplish here with this, but it is very bizarre, very strange, and very bizarre. This is what we're dealing with these people. Now, tomorrow's show, I'll be speaking tomorrow night at an event. I need to get that ready to go. Tomorrow's show, hopefully, I've got time to put some things together for tomorrow morning's show. It will be kind of a little bit more of a normal time, hopefully, if everything goes well. Weather here is kind of cooled off today, and it's gotten a little bit chilly, downright chilly this morning. I was wearing shorts and I was actually kind of cold trying to get things. So anyway, I will do my best to be, 67 degrees out right now. I think earlier it was close to 60. Now it was kind of had this misty kind of a cold, damp feeling to it. Regardless of that, tomorrow we will have the show back to kind of a normal time, hopefully. And I will be talking about some regular stuff. I got a couple topics I want to get on tomorrow. I got some audio I'd really like to play, a little bit more of some things that are more pertinent to what's happening. In the meantime, call the show, 812-379-8778. I will be, you can call, text, whatever. And if you don't have a phone, you can go google.com/voice and put that number in, you'll be fine. Folks, thanks for listening. God bless. Take the rest of your day off. See ya.